fighting the socialists in Washington, exposing the nonsense in Congress, restoring common sense to government. It's Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. We the people must make a stand. So let your voice be heard and call Pete now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome to Common Sense Radio. That's right, Common Sense Radio. It's Thursday night, and you're right where you should be in front of your radio because there's plenty to talk about. You might be as befuddled as Robert Mueller, not knowing what day it is or where you're at. So you're in the right spot. You can be right here and get clarified and have your own report read to you. That's the kind of service we do for our wonderful listeners here. And as always, we are here every week, crisp and clear, coming across the airwaves. And I know you are truly astounded every week that the FCC and the FBI and Homeland Security allows this program to come to you over these airwaves. But that is because of the courage of our fearless, indomitable, award-winning engineer who faces down all the FCC and FBI and DHS.
And block tunnels.
It doesn't matter where it is, and nothing stops him. He gives marching orders to those electrons, and they come to you. And that is our protector of the electrons, our award-winning engineer, co-host, executive producer, all-around nice guy, Mark Holliday.
Oh, thank you, Pete. I appreciate those
kind
words.
You are the
protector,
man.
Courageous. Guys, courageous,
indomitable.
I don't know what I'm going to do now.
You're the I don't know. Open up your text line to the ladies.
Okay.
There you go.
C'est la vie.
All right. So, and trying to bring some decorum and dignity to this. Although I think she succeeds whenever she gets to chime in, but she's still riding herd on the other two in here. But she is our director of quality assurance. She is executive producer, head of the research department, co-host, all-around nice gal and gold star wife, United States Coast Guard, Teresa Taylor.
Great to be here.
In the studio. Yes, so we have the whole team. We had a narrow miss. We thought we were going to be missing Mark.
I had a personal situation arise that fortunately was able to be resolved via the telephone and not a trip physical presence.
Yes, but so that's
good. It's all good.
We're good. So you all benefit that the team, the gang is all here.
Yes.
Okay, there's a lot to go on. I wanted to get some of the smaller items out before we get into the bigger items. Some of you, I don't know if you've seen the latest. There's a breaking news. Paris is burning.
Did not see that.
Yes. It's 108 degrees in Paris.
Oh, that burning.
Yes.
Yes.
It is 100.
Did hear about that.
I was wearing the yellow shirts.
So there is, right now, there is more nudity than usual in Paris.
More alcohol. Yeah.
But now they're having a heat wave, a Sahara heat wave, and, you know, we're not laughing at them, but you know this the global warming guys are going nuts.
Well, you know, our staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams has indicated, and I get this through Sean, that when part of the globe, part of the planet is higher temperature than normal, usually that's accompanied by another part of the planet a little
cooler than
normal.
Yeah.
So it all balances out. We are on a balanced planet.
It's air mass is moving and stuff like that. I mean, because look at while they're burning, we've had mornings in July where it got to 69 degrees in July.
This last couple of days
been nice.
Mine felt a little bit like fall, just for a second.
It did,
not
in the morning.
But like it had that feel.
Mm-hmm. Had a little bit of coolness and a little breeze. No, so burn, baby, burn in Paris because it's keeping it cool over here.
Weather does change, you know.
Another little item I saw, the CDC came out and said that the U.S. fertility rates fall to all-time low.
Mm-mm.
And
Oops.
It's both men and women.
Oops.
And I blame the man bun.
That's the most...
I mean, come on, guys.
Unattractive.
If you're walking around with a man bun and skinny jeans...
Yeah,
your stuff probably ain't working.
There's no, you hear about, well, it takes the right kind of man to pull off a turtleneck or like some kind of like kind of weird fashion. But to me, I've yet to find anyone who can really pull that off.
Nah,
I mean,
yeah.
Maybe. Like, but
I'm actually amazed.
It's so rare and so ugly generally.
I'm just amazed at all the beta males. I mean, they're everywhere. They're wearing skinny jeans and man buns and they're wearing little scarves on their heads.
Well,
and it's like, you boys look sweet.
Yeah.
It jumping too far ahead, but you know the youth that beat up the tourist in D.C.?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They all had skinny pants on.
Yeah,
I mean, I couldn't really make it all out because I was trying to figure it out. Because usually when they say youth, they're trying to cover up. It's some sect that's not politically
right.
correct to say out loud. So I was looking like really close
who
at the video,
guys?
But then I just kept seeing skinny pants and skinny jeans. I'm like, is it a girl? Is it a boy? They all have leggings on.
I didn't actually see the video. I
it
saw
was
some
bad.
Clips, but it looked like it was boys and girls.
It was. It was very bad.
That's crazy.
But still, yeah,
that's
crazy.
I mean, but that's a bad sign for our society because, you know, I mean, just, that's a terrible sign for society.
Mm-hmm.
That you have no respect because the pictures I saw, it was just a whole bunch of them. And others were standing there and laughing instead of going, no, that ain't right. You don't
and
do
apparently
that.
And apparently it was kind of planned as well.
Oh, was
by
it?
By the
I didn't
way
get
they kind of like ambushed or something.
Yeah,
I
no,
really
this
don't
is
know.
Terrible. It's terrible stuff.
I'm not quite sure.
So I'll take that right, goes into the NYPD thing. Do you see that? The police officers trying to arrest somebody and the bystanders are throwing buckets of water
right.
on them.
Yeah, yeah.
And they don't do anything.
And so where does that end? Yeah, it's like what's
that's
next?
Exactly right. Mm-hmm. Where does that end if you don't instill some sort of respect to towards law enforcement? Where does that end? You know, I mean, because if there's not respect for law enforcement, what happens when they throw a brick?
Exactly.
Right. What happens when they escalate? You know, you should, and it should be disconcerting to us that our youth don't have respect for law enforcement.
Yeah.
It should be very disconcerting because if they don't have respect for law enforcement and just authority, that's where anarchy comes in.
Exactly.
You know, and and you get Antifa and all that stuff. But, hey, worry not because the federal government is going to reinstate the death penalty after two decades.
I didn't know it had been stated.
Well, yeah.
They stopped. It wasn't really. It was policy that they would not do it. They wouldn't pursue it.
Oh, okay.
And Attorney General Barr, while he's cleaning house, getting ready to investigate Democrats, he went and made a preemptive move and reinstated the death penalty.
And yet,
so hey, Democrats. Hey, Comey, you got that going for you. The death penalty is back on in play on that.
Joe Biden weighed in on that, I think.
Did he? I didn't see that. The other thing, do you remember how when Georgia did the abortion thing, I think it was a heartbeat bill or something. It was almost impossible to get an abortion, and all of a sudden—
Hollywood banned everything.
Yeah, Melissa Milano all of a sudden understood abstinence. Became
right, yeah.
Said,
yeah.
Yes, I tell all you women should abstain from sex if you can't have an abortion. Okay. Okay, that makes sense to us. Well, apparently Bernie has become a capitalist.
Really?
Okay.
Well, because it's really funny how Bernie's been going, hey, we got to have a $15 minimum wage, a living wage, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, his campaign workers were not getting 15 bucks.
Oh, really?
No.
Oh, boy.
So, and of course, his campaigners following Bernie had unionized. His campaign workers are unionized. So they started making a really big stink that he couldn't ignore, saying, you're preaching $15 and you won't pay us $15. So he finally relented and paid him $15.
Mm-hmm.
But he became a capitalist. He cut their hours.
Cut their hours. Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, you can get $15 an hour, but I just cut your hours.
Yep.
So you're going to make the same.
Right, right.
So
Go find a second job.
So isn't it great when you're playing with your own money?
It's a lot different.
It's a lot different.
Oh, I see how it works now.
And Margaret Thatcher was very wise in saying the problem with socialism is that eventually you run out of other people's money.
Absolutely. Bingo on that.
When you give it all away.
Yes.
Now, there's nothing wrong with using other people's money in the pursuit of capitalism.
Correct.
As long as you pay interest. As long as you return on investment.
Right, exactly.
And that's why you have rich people, so they will invest in your ideas so you can make money and they make money.
Exactly.
But if you ever wonder if that principle is part of human nature, put your young child to work and ask them to spend their money on something. They will actually say, but no, that's my money.
Yes. Mm-hmm. No, that's
like,
true.
But you earned it. Once they get it,
they're kind of like, whoa.
They don't want to let go quite as
quickly. But you always buy the ice cream. Well, you got money now.
Correct. Yeah. It completely changes their
mentality. Well, you know, I mean, from a very young age, I realized that the allowance that I got, and I'm going back decades and decades, so it was just a little bit of money, I mean like 10 or 15 cents, wasn't enough to buy the 3 or 4 comic books that I wanted, even at 15 cents a comic or 12 cents at the time.
Right.
And a hamburger. I had to go to work. You know, cutting grass, weeding gardens and stuff like that, so I can get a little extra money, so I go spend what I want to spend.
That's what we did when we were young. And then one last item, and this is a pretty big one. Apparently there is definitive evidence of Bill Clinton with underage girls on the Lolita Express. They have it.
Oh.
Hmm.
You know what it is?
What?
Jeffrey Epstein is on suicide watch.
Oh, yeah, I called that.
Yeah.
Oh, Epstein, the one who could implicate Clinton. Oh, he's in prison. Oh, look, he's hurt. Mm-hmm. I think he tried to commit suicide.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Yeah.
So, looks like that story is never going to come out.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, Epstein. You oh, well.
Didn't Vince Foster do the same thing?
Vince Foster also committed suicide. I mean, you know, when you know too much.
Yeah.
You got to know when it's to go, so you got to check out. So watch for Epstein to commit suicide. He's on suicide watch, and the Clintons had nothing to do with it. Don't worry about it. So, all right, look, I know you all want to talk about the Mueller testifying and all that, and there's all sorts of stuff to talk about. We'll be right back. Give us a call or text at 251-343-0106.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio. And look, if you have automotive needs, you need to go to King's Automotive at 5450 Willis Road in downtown Tillman's Corner. They are right there at the Interstate 10 and Highway 90 interchange. If you're heading south on 90, look to your right underneath as you go underneath I-10. There it is on the right. There's a little switchback service road called Willis Road. Big checkered sign, big checkered building. Look, if you need car repairs, maintenance, service, you get honest, dependable service, and you can be trust that you're getting the right story and you're getting the best deal on your parts and repairs. They're very good people there. They know what they're doing. And then look, when the time comes that your old horse is had its days and you need another one and you need to turn it in and you want to get another budget-friendly car, or maybe you just need to get one, a work car for a second car, whatever it is, or for that high school kid, whatever it is you're trying to do, they've got budget-friendly cars, $2,000 to $20,000. They got a great selection. They get the cars in, they check them out, they make sure they run properly, and you get a really good deal on budget-friendly cars at King's Automotive. You need to go to King's Automotive to buy budget-friendly cars down there in Tillman's Corner, or get your repair, maintenance, and service. Get the royal treatment at King's Automotive in 5450 Willis Road in Theodore. Okay, let's do this. Let's go to line 3. We have on the line the state commander for the Sons of the American Legion, Aaron Phillips, is calling in. Y'all are having an event, I think it's 9 o'clock on the 31st of July, which I think is a Wednesday. Is that right? And it's at the Senior Center on Nevius Road right there in Theodore. And what's this event about?
Thank you, Mr. Rehm, for having us on tonight. We'd like to announce a celebration and awards for Mr. James Spears, who is thankfully still with us at 99 years old.
Whoa!
We're going to come together at the Senior Center here on Nevius Road in Tillman's Corner on the 31st at 9 o'clock, and we'll have some of the local politicians and our favorite radio personality, Mr. Rehm, I'm hoping, will be there.
I will be there.
I'm glad to say that, dude. We're going to be presenting various certificates and awards honoring the life and service Mr. James Spears, who was a 30-year-plus service veteran from World War II. His family is going to be there, and numerous dignitaries from the American Legion, officers from the state level all the way down here to the local post area. And we're going to have a covered dish event there that morning. The awards ceremony starts at 9 o'clock. And as soon as we get everything taken care of there, we're going to uncover his personal parking space, veterans only, with his name on there for as long as he's with us here on the earth. That will be Mr. Spears' private parking spot. Well, and we'll unveil that for him and his family after that.
I got to say, I'm impressed. He's driving at 99?
Yes, sir. He's at 99 years old and still getting around very well.
That's awesome. I hope I'm driving at 99.
I do also. Yeah, this, just to sit and talk with this gentleman for 3 minutes will enrich your life, and I invite anyone who'd like to come by to come and meet the gentleman.
It's open to the public, right? It's open to the public. Anybody can come?
It is open to the public. It is a covered dish event. If you'd like to stay and have a meal with us, pick up a little something. It doesn't really make any difference what it is. Bring that with you. We're hoping to pack the place out and have to pull the chairs out there, you know, for everyone. So come on by and spend that time and see your favorite radio personality. Mr. Ring will be there with
you. That's right. I will be there. You get to see what a radio face really looks like. So
Looking forward to it, friend.
We're going to be honoring James Spears, 99 years old, World War II veteran, over 30 years in service to his country. And, you know, there's not many of those guys that left real true American heroes. So y'all come out 9 o'clock the 31st of July at the Senior Center on Nebius Road, right there in Tillman's Corner. All right, Aaron. We look forward to doing it. Thank you so much for calling
in. Reem, thank you. Thank you for the time tonight, and thank you for what you do for our veterans, sir. We're proud of you.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. It's a labor of love, all the things that you just can't say no. But we appreciate you. Thanks. All right, let's go to Bert from Theodore. What do you got for us, Bert?
Yeah, Pete. I met Jeff Sessions during the Reagan campaign in 1980 when we worked together recruiting volunteers.
Wow. I didn't know you were that old.
I'm that old. I've got creds with just about everybody. I have met Reagan personally.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool.
For my campaign efforts. I want to hear from you. What do you think Jeff Sessions is going to do? Is he going to run for his old seat back? And if you were one of his advisors, would you tell him to go for it?
You know, I have not really, I have not heard anything about this recently. And let's say 6+ months ago, what I heard in, you know, the rumor mills was that he was not doing it. He was not interested, and he just wasn't doing it. It wasn't on the table for him is what I did not hear that from him. I heard that through a lot of different rumors. So I kind of don't know what to say, why he would try to get his job back right now. Because, you know, you got a bunch of people out there in full swing campaigning right now. And let me just lay it on the table why I think it's hard for him to come back. Because right now, if he comes back to run, and look, I love Jeff Sessions. I think he's one of the most honest men ever in, you know, great integrity. Just, I think he's a great guy. But if he comes to run right now, he has to run in the shadow of Attorney General Bill Barr.
Yeah.
Because everybody's looking at what Barr's doing and going, whoa, look at him. That's what the Attorney General should be doing. And if you step back into the limelight, you're really going to draw a contrast of, well, let's see, you got fired by Trump, and now we see an attorney general who's just burning it down. So what were you doing for 2 years?
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's kind of harsh, but that's kind of what I would see.
Would he settle for junior senator with no seniority and start all over? You know what I mean?
Well, I don't know if he necessarily starts all over, because I mean does your clock start? I have no idea. Does it start over if you have a lapse?
Yeah if you leave and then come back,
your seniority clock starts over.
Now, friendships and relationships that have been made will stay in place and in force. I have another thing that I want to throw into the mix. It's not going to be too many more years before we're going to have a gubernatorial election.
Right. Yeah.
And that's a pretty nice plum to put in your basket.
And he's I'm trying to remember. Isn't he in early 70s?
Yeah, I think so.
He has aged out of a lot of things.
Right. So he could. That's a good one. I could see him maybe coming back to take governor. I don't know. Going back to Washington, and this is just me, seems like a very tough hill to all of a sudden jump back in there.
I don't know. I'm kind of like...
Well, the swamp has not been kind to him.
No.
I think he might want to come back.
The state of Alabama probably would be.
Well, yeah. I think the state of Alabama still has yes, we still love him, but you know what? We're Americans, and we like winners.
That's true.
We like winners. Yeah. And the problem is he's also way behind. You got Congressman Bradley Byrne, who's out there really campaigning hard and doing very, very well across the state. And he's doing very well in Washington. You know, he's in front on a lot of Trump issues. I mean, he's pretty masterful in getting in front of a lot of issues. You see his name in a lot of headlines. I mean, I just saw he was on a Breitbart headline before I came on. Mm-hmm. He's out there campaigning hard. Tommy Tuberville's. You know, it's hard to get people to look back, I think. Mm-hmm. I think he's late in the game.
Yeah. Pete, if there wasn't a Bradley Byrne in the race, I might consider Tuberville because I really am an Auburn fan. But you know what? There's a difference between voting for a coach and voting for a congressman or senator.
And see, that's the other thing that Sessions – he's going to jump – I mean, if there was no good candidates, if all the candidates sucked, right, there was no good ones, he had no good choice, then you could see him coming kind of back in as a savior. But I just don't see that stage being set up right now. So I don't know. If you hear something, we sure would like to know, but I have not.
Well, thank you for taking my call, Pete.
All right, Bert, thank you for calling from downtown Theodore. Look, we got lines open, 251-343-0106, or you can give us a text. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
All right. Welcome back to Common Sense Radio. Bottom of the hour, bring aboard a special sponsor, ABC Signs and ABC Shirts. That's your headquarters for custom-made signs, banners, and dry-fit shirts, promotional materials. They can do it. Or if you need somebody to run a campaign, they'll do that too. Greg Callan's running campaigns down there. Look, these are talented guys down there. Greg Callan's very creative. They can, if you need a graphic made to put on your shirt for your family reunion or for your business, a logo, they can help you with all that. And they can help you make one
quickly,
or million.
Because a lot of times you don't know until you, like,
till
the
you
day
need
of
it. They get
the
them out.
Before.
Boom, boom, boom. Those guys are great down there. You need to go visit abcsigns.biz or abcshirts.biz. That's BIZ. Or give them a call at 877-744-6750. All your promotional needs, shirts, banners, signs, you name it, pens, or MAGA hats. They got it all. They got a Trump store right there on LaRue Steiner Road. So give them a call, check them out, and they bring wit and wisdom from our 40th president.
Well, the trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
Okay, that's a short and sweet one.
It was
one.
Short,
but probably
very
the best
sweet.
One.
And actually, yes. If I remember, that's that goes favorite. Back to like 1960s. I can't remember. It was in the 1960s when he said that. So think about it. This conservative liberal thing's been going on for half a century. But I picked that one for two reasons. One is we're going to get to next the Mueller, what the Democrats. I mean, it doesn't matter what you tell them; they still say no. Nope.
It's never.
It
yeah,
never ends.
It never ends.
You can tell them no. The sun is shining. It's raining.
It's like
the sun
year old.
Is shining. No, you're being flooded. No, it's dry. No, you can't tell them anything. And then this week's column is on the blow-up from last week, Trojan Horsewomen of Color.
Ooh.
If you remember, Senator John Kennedy from Louisiana said that the squad, Alexandria Occasionally Coherent and Omar and Presley and Tlaib were the horsewomen of the apocalypse. And I would say they're more the Trojan horsewomen of color.
Yeah.
Because they rode in hiding behind their skirts and their color to say, oh, we're here to represent and bring diversity. No, they are there to bring socialism and upheaval and to dismantle this republic.
And swift and fast. And
swift
if you
and
do
fast.
Dare disagree...
You are a racist.
Then you're just a racist. You just pull that card out. It shuts down any discussion.
It doesn't matter what you say. You're a racist. You cannot. And these, you, if you listen to these people, I mean, AOC this week said, oh, about the border negotiations for trying to get immigrate. Oh, well, they're just trying to keep their border torture project going.
Oh.
I mean, insinuating that we want to torture people on the border. I mean, she was did the Nazi camp and all that. And Omar said just this week, well, you know, really in this country, we should be fearing white men the most.
Yeah.
She's
I heard
that. The one I fear the most. Look, well, she's very scary, and she's very probably the most corrupt of all of them.
Oh, yeah. No,
I think the other ones are more like useful idiots. She's more the one, like, she knows exactly what she's doing.
Well, Tlaib's pretty.
Well, that's true, too. Yeah.
Because she's tied in with the Palestinians. But, you know, they're not really getting anywhere because the Israel anti-boycott bill passed like 320-17 or something. It was a blowout. I mean, the squad, they were supporting that. They want to boycott Israel. It was a total blowout. But why I say Trojan horse women, because they are infiltrating our government to dismantle the republic. But the dirty secret is they're going to disrupt the Democrat Party first.
Yeah.
That's why they're there. Yeah. They're going to disrupt the Democrat Party and make them go full-bore socialist.
Yeah.
Pelosi's trying to – she didn't mind the socialism, but she wants to win elections, right? So she's trying to resist it. That's why the Twitter storm, the Twitter rant, which created the firestorm by Trump, was actually brilliant because what he forced the Democrats to do was circle the wagons around the squad and embrace the four Trojan horsewomen as the standard bearers of the Democrat Party.
Pete, have you ever had the privilege of hearing or meeting the General Boykin? Remember, he was
who
did all the work, like when Mogadishu
was a
thing, and he took so much fire. But he really stands on the right side of the truth, just like we do, and very much. Years ago, like I'm talking maybe 10 to 15, he recommended a book named Infiltration. In fact, I'll dig it back up and throw it onto our Facebook page.
Good deal.
It actually describes the things that felt so far-fetched when I first read that. I remember my kids were just babies when I read it. I thought, this is crazy. But now, every time I see like Omar and these people on state, I'm like, this is exactly what has been detailed, what's been planned. They said they're going to do it. They're doing it.
They're executing it flawlessly,
to be quite honest.
They're
patient about it.
They're
very patient
about it. They're going to slowly get elected. Look, I mean, places like Dearborn, Michigan have become pretty much all Muslim. I mean, they actually use Sharia law in Dearborn, Michigan because the mayor, the city council, everybody's Muslim.
And
But I know everybody's going, oh, you're Islamophobe.
No,
the problem is, it's not compatible with the American way of life and American freedom. I don't care what you say. It is not compatible with American freedom
and
our way of life.
And there is a small sect of Islamic immigrants that came here to escape that who actually do understand it, but yet they're very quiet because they don't
want to die. No. The moderate
no,
ones.
No, I mean, they fled, but now they, you know.
Well, it's same thing like in Nazi Germany. Not all the Germans were Nazi, but they were quiet.
Correct.
And the Nazis took over.
Yes,
so
it's
you can't be quiet on that. You take it over.
It's irrelevant.
But watch them. I think the good news on it, though, is I think they have overplayed their hand in Congress. And you're seeing it because they're losing votes. And I think they've overplayed their hand with the American people. Because I think Trump's on to something.
Yeah.
You know, this a year ago, or right after the 28, or 6 months ago, rather, If you would have said, could the Republicans retake the House, I would have been, probably not.
That's just how we were like, that's how the pendulum swings. It may take them a while.
And you know, they've done such a poor job, particularly under Paul Ryan. I don't know if they can do it, right? Well, now, I think every day the probability that the Republicans blow the Democrats out of the House goes up. Every day.
It does.
And I think
and it's
Trump
hard not to kind of enjoy it just a little bit.
Oh, yes. No,
I mean,
I've
kind
that.
Of like, it's like kind of watching.
You can't not enjoy that. It's kind of crazy.
It's sad, yet it's still.
Right. So
a little humorous.
But anyway, that's this week's column. You can get it in the Call News or the Tri-City Ledger or the Post or the Washington County News. Go check it out. It's online. I'll try to remember to post it on our Facebook page. The Trojan Horse Women of Color. Okay. The big story, which we've kind of taken a while to get to, although let me quick get the text. Somebody said Tuberville needs to go somewhere that is in danger of turning blue. Alabama has plenty of Republican candidates for Senate. Because he did. He had to move here to run. So I wanted to get that. Thank you, John, for texting that in. Okay. The big news is they've been talking for, what, a month. Mueller is going to testify. And he is going to lay out. He's going to rekindle the impeachment fires. And he is going to show why it is the duty of the Congress to impeach this lawless president. He's going to lay it out. He's going to give the Democrats what they need to move forward. Well, after a few postponements, he finally showed up yesterday, right? And it didn't turn out the way the Dems wanted because they got him up there and they swore him in. And they said, well, thank you for coming to testify about the Mueller report. And he kind of said, I wrote a report? Well, yes, sir, you wrote two reports, two volumes. Oh, really? Really? Could you read them to me? It was terrible. You could actually tell something. And I didn't watch the whole thing. I saw clips and read a lot of reports on it. It was very funny. The Democrats would answer questions, very, very specific questions that were yes or no. And he would, yes, no. Yes, no. Republicans came in and they would read, I'm looking at your report, this section, blah, 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 blah. I read this. And did you, da, 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 da. And he would go, what section was that? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Well, one of the little memes, you know, we live by memes now. Yeah. It said, when your mom writes your book report for you and the teacher asks you, what do you think about the book?
That's exactly. Yeah, what exactly. did you think
really
about
that.
The book? Oh, I don't know. I got to ask my mom.
Yeah.
That's exactly
really
where he was.
It.
But that's actually the point that I wanted to make is what we really found out was Mueller was used.
Yeah.
He was a figurehead. He didn't run that investigation. They appointed him because of his reputation to try to give that special counsel investigation,
right.
a veneer of legitimacy and competency and integrity, because that's what he brought, right? He didn't do that. Now all this stuff we've been reading about Andrew Weissman.
Oh, yeah.
And
what a guy.
He ran this thing. He was the lead prosecutor. He's the one who hired a pack of raging, rabid Democrat, Trump-hating lawyers to go after the president. And now, for those of you who don't remember Weissman, do you remember Enron?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you know who the lead prosecutor was on that?
Tell us.
Andrew Weissman. Now, here's something interesting. I bet if we ask everybody out there, everybody goes, wow, it's really good that they took down that really corrupt Enron, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I bet average person, and I'm not trying to fault y'all, because this is what the news coverage does.
Right.
But the average person right now goes, yeah, I vaguely remember Enron. And yes, thank God the government took down those greedy capitalists and those corrupt people who cheated people. Did you know that almost all of the Enron convictions were overturned?
I had heard that, yes.
Yes. Most people don't know that. This guy is known for prosecutorial misconduct. So and look, they asked Mueller, did you know about Fusion GPS? He didn't know who that was.
Right, exactly.
That's the part where my mom wrote the report.
You did an investigation into Russian collusion that was predicated on a dossier by this Steele that was hired by Fusion G. And you didn't know all that?
Yeah.
Or you didn't interview Joseph Mifsud, the Maltese diplomat who planted all this information, started the rumors with Papadopoulos? You never went and asked him? And even though you knew he lied to you, you didn't go back. It's just amazing. Look, we'll take your calls and texts in a minute. 251-343-0106. I think we got a break. Sorry.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio. If you are looking for a church home, where you need to go is Magnolia Springs Baptist Church. They are down at 6058 Theodore Dawes Road. This is a Bible-teaching, Bible-true church. They have a very conservative pastor who will teach you and preach on the Word of God as written, not as embellished, not as changed over time or modified for modern morals or any of that nonsense. He will teach you the Word of God as it is written. And they have a great congregation, warm people. You'll find great fellowship. You need to go to Magnolia Springs Baptist Church at 6058 Theodore Dawes Road. It's south of I-10, north of Highway 90, right down there in Theodore. Wonderful church. I think you'll find a great church home there. So go check out Magnolia Springs Baptist Church this Sunday at their services. All right. Back on the Mueller thing, you know, one of the questions – and they were getting at it, and I don't think he answered it. When did he know that the Steele dossier was fake? Mm-hmm. Because they're starting to find records right. That they could prove that he knew it was fake sometime in 2017. So think about that. So you let this thing go for another year and a half, knowing that the entire premise was based on a falsehood created by the opposition.
And how could Obama not have known anything? Is that even possible?
No. No. I mean, somebody retweeted out tonight, don't forget Lisa Page's text to Peter Strzok.
Mm-hmm.
The POTUS wants to know everything.
Right.
Yeah, no, he knew what they were doing. And you know how he was culpable and part of it? What did he do? What was the last minute executive order he did literally hours before he left office? This is a trivial one, but it's a big one. It's like a trivia note, right? It's not trivial, it's trivia. But he issued an executive order changing the guidelines on access to intelligence.
Yeah.
Because intelligence is typically very compartmented. It's a secret. You don't spread it. You only let the people who need to know because people who don't need to know will
do something nefarious with it.
Well, but you increase the likelihood that it gets leaked.
Right, right.
He changed that so all 17 agencies could get access to everything. Thereby, all the moles and all the various agencies could get at what they want and leak what they want while they were unmasking all of the Trump campaign people. I mean, the evidence is slowly coming out. We've known this, but it's slowly coming out that this was a setup to first spy on the Trump campaign and then to try to disrupt, if not topple, the duly elected president. Well, and they're slowly closing the net. And Obama's probably in that net. They'll probably let him out, but he's in that net.
Yeah. So they're having to wiggle and figure, okay. Well, during the break, we were just saying, you know, I watched a good bit of everything unfolding yesterday. It crossed my mind. I wonder if it wasn't kind of a – to me, he seemed almost a little too dumb.
Right.
And I almost wonder, do they want to say he's bobbling, he's incompetent, so they get another do-over?
Oh, yeah. I hadn't thought of that, but that's a great point.
That's completely, like, it's not
that's
within...
Democrats, they've been wanting do-overs.
Yeah.
Correct.
So any way they can set up a do-over, I mean, literally, these are the guys who lose the game and go, do-over, another one, I need a do-over.
I don't think it's beyond thinking about.
No.
Definitely possible.
I guarantee they're thinking about it. I mean, that wouldn't surprise me.
Because it just didn't quite all add up.
Yeah.
You didn't know about GPS.
Fusion GPS?
I mean, everybody knows about Fusion GPS, don't they?
Yeah, we knew more. We can answer those questions.
Come on.
I mean, that was Trey Gowdy who said it was very interesting that the one that learned the most about the Mueller report was Mueller. What?
Hey, so, you know, this is off topic, but I wonder how the I think about the pasta company. Because I love pasta so much. So every time I see the word, I'm just like,
you thinking pasta?
Lasagna.
Lasagna.
And I wonder, have the they went up hearings. Or down? I know, I'm like,
egg noodles.
This is so bad.
So they missed it. They could have done that. Well, pasta. Now it's funny. It really was a disaster for the Dems.
Was.
I mean, even a lot of your as it was happening. But this is
so
now. Watch
funny.
How this goes.
Yeah.
As it was happening yesterday and all day yesterday, even CNN and MSNBC and New York Times, all sorts of people were, this is a disaster. He took the air out of impeachment. It's over. Blood. Even Dems and liberal commentators were saying that. Guess what? Today they're starting to say, no, it wasn't that bad. No, he left.
And then they're like, it was a great win for Pelosi.
It was a win.
And I'm still like, what? They're totally just making
stuff
up.
They don't care. I mean, they are literally like you play them in football and they're down by 8 touchdowns. And they're like, we're going to win. We're here. We're winning. We're actually ahead. If you look at the time on the clock, we're ahead.
They're so
insane. But now even Adam Schiff said, we can only remove Trump in 2020, the election. Mm. He said that. But they're starting to come. And here's what they're going to cling on. That's not a Star Trek reference. Here's what they're going to cling to is that it did not exonerate.
Right.
Well, you know, that's a kind of a ridiculous play on words because all he's supposed to do is go find evidence. And if he finds enough evidence to prefer charges for an indictment, that's what he says. There's enough to do an indictment. He didn't say that. He said he found no collusion or conspiracy to collude or anything. He found none of that. And then he said, we will not make a decision on obstruction because we don't have enough. Okay, enough to say yes or no. Well, but that's not his job to say yes or no.
Right, correct.
Because how do you prove you're innocent?
You don't.
Mark, I think you drive drunk. Can you prove to me that you don't drive drunk?
No.
I mean, how do you do that?
No, you can't. You cannot prove a negative.
You can't prove the negative.
But
you got to prove
Trump
that you
has
did
to.
It.
Right.
No, and that's what they're doing to Trump.
They even use the word exception. That's why the special committee thing doesn't really fit.
No.
It really doesn't. Because, I mean, how can you prove exactly what we just said?
Yeah,
like
you can't prove the
negative.
And then he even said, well, do you think that you could still indict the president after he leaves office? Yes. Indict him for what?
What? Yeah.
You couldn't find anything to even say this is what we could indict or should look into indicting. You didn't say anything. So how do you now say, well, when he leaves office, we can revisit this and indict? This is, look, you're presumed innocent. And if they can't prove that you're guilty, you're innocent.
Correct.
And some of the Republican congressmen did a really, really good job of getting after him, saying, you violated law, you violated DOJ guidelines, because you're not supposed to, if you can't indict, you're not supposed to malign any unindicted persons. If you're not indicting him, you can't come out and say, well, I would have indicted him, but he's dirty anyway. And that's what they're doing. It's totally un-American. But you know what they're showing? That's their only strategy.
That's the only game.
That's the only game they got.
Yep.
All right, folks. I hope you had a great week. We will be back next week. Have a good week. Stay cool. Stay dry. And honey, it's time to come home.